Blessed day, everyone. Welcome to our midweek study. Today, we find ourselves looking at the seventh commandment, Exodus 20, verse 14, and it reads, "You shall not commit adultery." The seventh word. Shall we pray? Loving God, we pray that you would be with us as we study your word. We continue to ask for your guidance and wisdom as we are once again brought to the genius of Scripture, authored by our awesome and majestic God. We pray that it would not just be an intellectual exercise, Lord, but rather it would be an exercise of the will, exercise of the heart, as we wrestle with truths, as we are embraced by your word is truth. And we pray that we would be so amazed and so immersed in your word that we would heed to the call to live all these truths out. We pray that you would glorify yourself as we ponder upon your word. This is our heart's cry in Christ's name. Amen. Kamusta po ang lahat? So we find ourselves again looking at the seventh commandment. To those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, we have been looking at the book of Exodus, and we just find ourselves looking at a study on each commandment. And ngayon po, nasa seventh commandment na tayo. As we open this study, remember when we were looking at the overview, we said that the Ten Commandments are categories. They're not exhaustive. Hindi ito sinasabing, eto lang, eto yung itsura. Right? They are categories and they have far-reaching implications and applications. They're very profound. They seem to be simple on the outside, but they are very profound. And each commandment would take you to the truth that we cannot live them out. Because as Jesus has said, you shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And so, sabi natin, and as you would expect as we study this word, it would bring us to our knees, and each commandment would condemn us, and we would find ourselves looking for a Savior. Sa pag-aaral natin ngayong gabi, we would just have a simple heading, three simple headings. We would look at the letter of the commandment. Next, we will be looking at the spirit of the commandment. And lastly, we will find ourselves looking at the urgency or the seriousness of the commandment. So, tatlong heading lang, the letter of the commandment, the spirit of the commandment, and the urgency of the commandment. Let's look at the first heading, the letter of the commandment. What do you mean by letter? Sabi natin, the letter means what's the direct command? You shall not commit adultery. By itself, we understand that. But we need to do some clarifications. What do you mean by adultery? Technically, ang adultery can be defined as this. Adultery is the willful sexual intercourse by a married person with someone other than his or her spouse. Yun po yung technical definition or literal definition ng adultery. And we know that this is a serious sin dahil it defiles the most sacred human relationship of all, the relationship between a man and his wife. We need to understand that marriage precedes the fall. It goes before the fall, right? Bago nagkasala si Eva at Adan, the marriage relationship has already been instituted. Genesis 2:24, where we read, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. So, marriage has been instituted by God Himself before the fall in paradise. So therefore, adultery ruins this relationship. At alam natin, not just this relationship, but other relationships involved, other relationships around the marriage relationship. Kasi nga, ito ang pinaka-basic na relationship sa ating society. It destroys and undermines intimacy. It destroys trust. It destroys the marriage itself and carries a reproach that usually cannot be reversed. Listen to Proverbs 6, 32-33. He who commits adultery lacks sense. Wala raw siyang sense. He who does it destroys himself. You don't lack, you lack sense and you destroy yourself. And who in the right mind would like to destroy himself? That's why sabi ni Solomon, he who commits adultery lacks sense, he who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. Strong words. Such happened to Solomon's father, David. We've seen that in the case of David, this man after God's own heart. Diba? Ano nangyari? The child that was born out of his adulterous relationship died. Namatay. And that broke his heart. His son, Absalom, rebelled against him and used this reproach, used the sin to justify his own sin. Yung reputation ni David has been tarnished. And he almost lost his throne, hindi po ba? And although he repented from it, and God has forgiven him already, it gave him many heartaches. Look at the profile of David. Look at the story of David. In fact, go to 1 Kings 15, verse 5. And this is something very interesting. This is talking about the death of David. And this is what we read. Let's look, starting from verse 4. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Sabi ganon, true to his promise that you will have a son on the throne. We see at his death, meron na siyang anak who would replace him. Why is that? Because David, listen, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. Ang sarap makita yan sa ano, no? Sa iyong epitaph. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Wow. Pero may karugdong eh. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Sin has become a blot to his exemplary reputation. Okay na sana eh. And we know that David made a number of sins. Hindi lang ito. But this was singled out by God, telling us that God really takes this sin seriously. Of course, sin is sin. One sin can condemn us. Right? But you need to understand, there are degrees of sins. One sin can condemn you. One sin is enough to separate you from God. But here we see this sin is singled out by God, meaning we are given hints that there are sins that are considered as greater than others. Again, hindi ito sinagasabi sa atin na we need to deal with lesser sins lightly. No, it's just saying that there are sins that God really hates. Consider these verses. John 19:11. Jesus answered him, meaning Pontius Pilate, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you," see Judas, has the greater sin. Ano sabi ni Kristo? Yes, Pilate is a sinner, and now he is holding an illegal trial against Jesus Christ. Pero sabi ni Kristo, no, si Judas, who handed me over to you, his sins are greater. Matthew 10, verse 15, you would read this. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. Wow! Sabi ganun, mas maayos pa, although paparusahan sila ang Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment, kaysa sa town, what town? Who would not listen to God's word. Kaya sabi natin, this is a very serious sin. Adultery is. Singled out in the life of David, even though we know that he committed a lot of sins, we heard Jesus Christ saying that Judas's sin is greater than Pilate's. Those who reject God's word and his people, his messengers, they would face a more severe punishment than the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. Adultery, friends, is the same. Kaya napansin ninyo, kahit anong culture, even though we have desensitized already, or let me put it this way, even though the social media, even though the world has desensitized people from adultery, diba? The sin of adultery, kasi dahil nag-glamorize ito sa pelikula, sa soap operas, or telenovelas, right? It's ganyan lagi ang plot, hindi po ba? But, kahit na ganun sitwasyon, right? We cringe when we learn of married people going through struggles. When we know of a certain person na nag-commit na tong sin na to. When someone close to us does and falls dito sa sin na ito. Right? So kahit na desensitized na tayo dahil sa media, kahit na nag-glamorize na ng media ang adultery, we still have that sense of disgust and pain whenever we know of someone, especially close to us, who has committed adultery. Yung Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book, is filled with warnings about adultery. And listen, and they always focus on the bitterness of the consequence of the sin. Listen to these Proverbs verses. Proverbs 6, 27 to 29. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Magandang tanong. That's a rhetorical question. Meron bang pwede maglaro ng apoy hindi mapapasok? Wala. Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. Wala raw na gagawa nito na hindi paparusahan. He would definitely be punished. Proverbs 22, verse 8. Whoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of his fury will fail. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And sabi ganun, the one who sows injustice, merong kang calamity na haharapin. And what are the consequences of adultery? Can you go to Galatians 6? Starting with verse 7. Sabi rito ni Pablo, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So we will reap what we would sow. Clearly, this sin, adultery, God forbids the act of adultery. Anong ginawa natin? We looked at the letter. We looked at the plain and simple commandment that God forbids, adultery. Pero, as we've said in our previous studies, it's not just the letter of the law that we need to look into. It's the spirit of the law, the moral principles behind the law that we would need to also consider. The moral principles behind the law. Strictly and technically, we define adultery. It is the willful sexual relationship that a person has with anyone other than his or her spouse. But in a broader and biblical sense, listen, adultery is anything that violates the sanctity of the marriage relationship. So it's not just the act alone. This commandment does not only deal with the external relations, but the inward internal desires. It deals not only with sexual relations after marriage, but listen, also even fornication before marriage. This is very serious, friends. And most of all, it deals with the sin conceived saan sa ating mga puso. If the act of adultery is a sin, then anything that might lead to it is a sin of the same plane. Go to Mark 7:20-23. Jesus himself saying this, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Hindi yung kinakain niya, hindi yung pinapasok sa isipan niya o sa kanyang sarili is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of the man, comes evil thoughts. And what leads the list? Sexual immorality. Other translations say adultery, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and they defile a person. Sabi ni Cristo, it's not just the external, it's not just the outward act, the internal thought, the inception and conception of this sin in the heart. Sexual immorality, adultery, and fornication. And what Jesus was saying was that this comes from the heart. So even before the act, meron na siya tuloy na may conception na, may na-conceive na. There's an inception of sin already in the heart. Ito yung mga bagay na hindi naunawaan ng mga Pharisees nung panahon ni Kristo. Ang fina-follow nila yung letter of the law. Oh, hindi naman ako nangangalo niya. Right? But they miss the spirit of the law. And oftentimes that is what we miss. The spirit of the law. And that's sad. Kasi minsan dina-justify ng mga tao yung morality of the world. Hindi ko naman ginagawa eh. Buti nga hindi ko ginagawa eh. Nasa isipan ko lang naman eh. Wala naman akong nasaktan eh. Is that really true? No one got hurt? Listen, friends, in the inception alone of sin, of particularly this sin, you know who got hurt? We have offended God who sees the heart, who knows the heart. Right? It is wrong. It is an offense to a holy, holy, holy God. And again, since God looks at the heart, an impure heart is an offense to Him just as much as the commission of this sin. Anong nakarinig, naalala niyo si Joseph when he was being seduced by Potiphar's wife? Ano sabi ni Joseph? Sabi ni Joseph, Genesis 39, verse 7. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Diretsahan eh. Diba? But Verse 8, he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house." Wala siya na iniisip dahil ako ang katiwala niya. "And he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am. Nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife." And listen to him. "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar?" No, against God. Joseph knew that such sin, first and foremost, is an offense to God. Bakit natin kailangan tignan yung Spirit of the Law? Bakit hindi tayo dapat makontento na hindi ko naman ginagawa? Kasi, ganito kasi in-expound, in-explain ni Kristo ang law. Listen to Matthew 5, verse 20. Matthew 5:27. "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' That's the letter of the law." Ito yung plain and simple taken out of the law. Ito yung utos. God forbids adultery. But wait, there's more. Verse 28. "But I say to you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." That's the heart of the law. That's the spirit of the law. And Jesus is saying, the same law that forbids the act is the same law that forbids the desire. An adulterous thought, an adulterous look, an adulterous desire carries the same kind of guilt as an adulterous act. O bago tayo maging magtuloy, dahil marami mga pilosopo, sabi ng mga pilosopo, edi gawin ko na lang, pareho lang naman pala eh. No. Jesus was not saying that, ganun nga, and he is not promoting, say, gawin mo na lang, pareho lang naman. No. Sabing ganun, both comes from within. The act was just a manifestation of what's within. An act of adultery definitely is worse than an adulterous heart or adulterous thought. But what we see here is that they stem from the same evil seed and they carry the same guilt, the same guilt. Right? Guilty ka na agad kahit nasa isipan pa lang. The same guilt. Even if it's a different degree of guilt. Guilty ka na agad. Huwag mong isipin na hindi ka pa guilty samantalang hindi mo pa ginagawa. No. Ano yung sinabi sa sixth commandment? "Thou shall not murder. Pero I say unto you, if you hate your brother, you have already murdered him in your heart." So, hatred is already morally equivalent to murder. And so, adulterous thoughts and adulterous acts are both violations of the seventh commandment. Huwag niyong isipin, pag nasa isipan niyo pa lang, hindi niyo na-violate ang seventh commandment. No. The act and the thoughts both violate the spirit, the heart of the law. So, di ba, seryoso? Di ba, far-reaching itong patas na ito, utos na ito? It includes every kind of fornication, every lustful look, immoral thoughts, every type of unfaithfulness. And not only that, as we have been learning, di ba, ang lahat ng mga utos, lahat ng commandment has its implied opposite. What is forbidden, the opposite of that is implied. What is commanded, the opposite of that is prohibited. So, ang sabi yan, you shall not commit adultery. By virtue of a positive implication, it means that we also should nurture and love our spouse or your spouse with a full heart. Mga husbands, kahit na wala tayong ine-entertain na desire kanino man, right? Even if we don't desire another woman, artista man yan or whatnot, but if we fail to love our wives wholeheartedly, we have violated the spirit, the heart of this law. You see? Far-reaching ito. Kasi kung sabi ganun, huwag kang mangalo niya, therefore, the opposite implied is that kalingain mo ang iyong asawa. Mahalin mo ng buong puso ang asawa. Wives, if you fail to love your husbands, even without any desire toward another man, you have violated this commandment. Ang taas ng standard, di ba? Kaya napansin ninyo sa Ephesians 5, kinlear out talaga ni Pablo yan. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. Anong standard? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That is the standard. Even if you don't have lustful desires towards another woman, if you do not love your wife this way, you have violated the heart of the seventh commandment, the spirit of the seventh commandment. Kaya precious sa Panginoong Diyos ang marriage. Because it mirrors the love of Christ, the bridegroom, to his bride, the church. At yung devotion ng church sa kanyang bridegroom, si Kristo. Sagrado ang kasal, sagrado ang pag-asama ng mag-asawang babae at lalaki sa mata ng Panginoon Diyos. Matthew 5:32. I hope you're writing this down. As we look at the far-reaching implications, as we look at the heart, the spirit of the law. Sabi rito, Matthew 5:32. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. That is a very, very strong warning. Divorce, according to Jesus Christ, can lead to adultery. Of course, meron siyang sinabi. The only exception in divorce is with regards to sexual immorality. And we know that if we harmonize the scripture, if we take the scripture in its entirety, pag may pag-asama sa ang pag-asama ng mag-asawa, we there should be grace, there should be the gospel there, diba? So there should be forgiveness. But this is talking about yung parang hindi na matigilan na sexual immorality, then pwede ang divorce. But other than that, divorce, according to Jesus Christ, is the same as leading someone to an adulterous life. Again, in the case of those divorcees na ang ground ay sexual immorality, yes, they can remarry. And they're free from violating. They are not bound by the seventh commandment. But to those who remarry dahil lang sa naghihilik lang or something, that's tantamount to adultery. The spiritual picture is very important. The picture of Christ and His bride, the church. Hindi kayo nagtataka sa scripture, ang unbelief, ay hinahalin tulad ng Panginoon Diyos sa adultery, spiritual adultery. Yung hindi paniniwala, yung apostasy ng Israel ay hinalin tulad ng Diyos sa adultery. Sa pangalo niya, listen to Jeremiah 3. 1 to 3. If a man divorces his wife and she goes from him and becomes another man's wife, will he return to her? Would not that land be greatly polluted? You have played the whore with many lovers. And would you return to me? Declares the Lord, lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see, where have you not been ravished? By the waysides, you have sat awaiting lovers like an Arab in the wilderness. You have polluted the land with the vile whoredom. Therefore, the showers have been withheld and the spring rain has not come. Yet you have the forehead of a whore. You refuse to be ashamed. Strong words. Ano yung picture? Isang na picture ng adultery sa marriage vow. And the context there is that Israel has apostatized. They did not believe and have not believed in their God. Those are harsh words. That's how God describes Israel during their time of apostasy. James 4, verse 4. You adulterous people. Mga mangalan niya kayo. Ano context? Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with the world? Enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Ano sabi ng Panginoon Diyos? Mga mangalan niya kayo. Anong context? They have embraced the world more than embracing God. You see? Ba't ko sinasabi ito? To show you that adultery is a serious sin. Why? Because it manifests an unfaithful heart. Kaya nga hinalin tulad ng Panginoon Diyos ang pangalan niya sa unbelief. It is first and foremost a sin of the heart. So yung seventh commandment doesn't just address the outward act, but the inward, internal unfaithfulness to the marriage vow. We can go on and go on and give examples. But I hope you are getting this. It's not just the letter of the law. It is not just the literal adherence to this commandment. It also involves the heart. We need to be face to face with the spirit, with the heart of the commandment. And that is, adultery is stemming out of an unfaithful heart. Why would you look at other women? Unfaithfulness. You're not faithful to your husband. Why would you look at other men? Unfaithful sa iyong asawa. At sabi natin, we've seen that God takes this sin very seriously. God takes marriage very seriously. He gave us a beautiful picture of the love relationship between Jesus and the church. Right? So we've seen the letter of the law, the letter of the commandment. It prohibits adultery, and we define adultery. It is the willful violation and it is a willful sexual intercourse by a married person to someone other than his or her spouse. But we have broadened our spectrum. And so, the heart of the law, it involves the heart. It involves the heart. It involves any adulterous thought, any adulterous look. It involves unfaithfulness. It involves neglecting your wife, neglecting your husband. And God takes that very seriously. Gano ka serious? And this leads us to the urgency of the commandment. When we say urgency, I want you to see urgency. It's very urgent that we address this. This is very serious. And what this means is this, we would see ano ang repercussions, ano ang consequence, ano ang punishment, ano ang penalty na nakikita natin sa salita ng Diyos with regards to this commandment. Ang pagsuway sa commandment ito. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 10. If a man commits adultery with his wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Ano ang penalty? Death penalty. Right? Both parties, the man and the woman, both parties involved should be put to death. Deuteronomy 22, verse 22. If a man is found lying with the wife of another man, both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. It's interesting to note, friends, that whenever Scripture describes for us kung sino yung pupunta sa impyerno, bakit parang kasama lagi ang adultery at fornication doon? Very serious matter. Adultery and fornication seems to be heading the list or being part of the list. Look at Galatians 5:19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, sabi ng ilang translation, adultery, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Man, this is indeed a very serious matter, di po ba? Revelation 21, verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. As Scripture, and dalawa lang ito sa mga passages, as Scripture describes for us those who are inhabitants of hell, adultery and fornication seems to be always in the list. God takes this very seriously. Balik kayo sa Matthew 5:28, yung ating spirit of the law, the heart of the law. Sabihin ganun, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery, the letter. But I say unto you, that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her heart, in his heart. That is the context. Okay? Ito yung pinag-uusapan. Now, when you go to verse 29, we need to consider the context before. Ano yung context? Adultery. Look at verse 29. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Minsan, tinatanggal natin yan sa context. Ang immediate context, ang pinag-usapan, adultery. He's talking about sexual purity. You see? And what Jesus is using here is hyperbole. Hindi siya sabi, putulin mo kamay mo o tanggalin mo mata mo. No, he is using exaggeration. What he is saying is, if you're struggling with habitual lust, if you're struggling with impure sexual thoughts and desires, you better take the most extreme action to take care of that. Pluck out your eye. Tanggalin mo yung kamay mo. Right? If you are struggling with lustful desires because of social media, because of the internet, what should you do? Tanggalin yung internet. Drastic moves. Kung yung eyes mo Nag-cause you to sin, pluck them out. The hand, cut it. Cut it. Some would go to the extent of, if your job is causing you to sin, quit the job. God will provide for you. Sabi niyo, easy for you to say, who do you treasure the most? Do you treasure your wife, your family? Do you treasure God? You see? Some would justify, eh, anong papakain ko sa anak ko? Would you stay there while you are slowly drifting away from your wife, from your family, because you your job has caused you to lust for other women or other men? Take the most extreme action to take care of that lust. Lose some friends. They are not really friends if they're leading you to an adulterous heart. Mga consentidor ng mga kaibigan, lose them. That is what we see here. You see? Yung text na yung mata mo, pag nagkakasalat, dukutin mo, the immediate context is sexual purity. Sabi ni Paul sa Colossians chapter 3, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Ano yung mga yun? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. If you're struggling with lust, choke the very life out of it. Mortify the sin that's in your members. What we're seeing here is a very serious discussion about this particular sin. And there's an urgency in dealing and in addressing this sin. Young people, if you're still awake and if you're still watching, please don't play with this sin. Don't do it either in your heart or in your actions. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from questionable websites. Stay away from, I'd say this, TikTok. What would lead you to desire? Di ba? Jesus says, deal with this harshly. Pluck your eye. Cut off your hands. We can actually go on and on and on sa pagdi-discuss nito. It could probably be a different topic to be discussed soon. Married men, listen. And listen to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love, all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. And thou, enjoy your life with your wife. Minsan, we enjoy things without our wives. We leave them out. How can you nurture? Kahit sabi mo, eh, wala naman akong ibang babae. Wala talaga akong impure thoughts. But are you nurturing your relationship with your wife? Again, friends, if we would look at the spirit of the law, the implied opposite, that we should nurture, we should love our wives wholeheartedly, then we are in defiance of this law if we do not enjoy life with our wives. Proverbs 5:15-19. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. Beautiful imagery there. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Hindi yung youth ng iyong wife. I'm just so blessed. I praise the Lord for how, by His grace, I'm enjoying getting old with my wife. Like kung sinasabi sa kanya, I know she wouldn't like this. I always tell her that. Ang ginagawa ko madalas po, not to elevate me. I'm also struggling with a lot of things, but I make it a point to appreciate my wife. There are times when I'm studying, tapos siya nasa sala. I would text her and say, "I love you," or "Hi, sexy." Be satisfied with your wife, the wife of your youth, not the youth of your wife, and learn to delight in her. And make yourself delightful as well to her, so she wouldn't look elsewhere. Treat her nice. Same goes with the wives. Okay? Single people, if you are struggling in this area, get married. 1 Corinthians 7, 8 to 9. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Ano sabi doon? If you struggle with this, then get married. Do not burn with passion. Get married. And again, this may lead us to another study on love, courtship, and marriage. But what we see here is we need to deal with this with urgency. Young people, stay out of things that could lead you to have impure thoughts. Married people, nurture, enjoy each other. Live life and enjoy each other. Make yourself delightful to your spouse. Treat each other nice. And enjoy, to those of us who may be married for like longer na, of course, okay yan sa mga bagong kasal eh. But to those of us who have been married longer, it takes commitment. Don't ever, ever neglect your spouse. Don't tolerate adulterous and immoral desires in your heart. This is heavy stuff, I know. But the beauty there is we know that we all have failed in this. No one of us can say, okay ako dyan, hindi ko nagawa yan. No, I'm pretty sure, I'm definitely sure we have failed in perhaps the letter of the law, the letter of the commandment, more often than not, the heart, the spirit of this commandment. And that is beautiful because it leads us to the gospel. It leads us to our knees. That this word, this commandment has condemned us again. And we now desire to have someone help us. And this leads us to the gospel. Friends, I know we have been bombarded with harsh words from scripture, but here is the beauty here. There is forgiveness and cleansing even for sins as serious as adultery. Remember John 8? Go to John 8. Diba? John 8 starting with verse 3. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and placing her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the act of adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" This they said to test him. Again, mga ipokrito yung mga ito. If they wanted to indeed adhere to the letter of the law, ba't yung babae lang? Dapat kasama yung lalaki. both parties should be stoned to death. They just wanted to test Jesus Christ. So they just found out, ito, nahuli nila sa akto itong adulterous woman. Bakit? Maybe it's a trap? I don't know. This they said to test him, that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. So that's at least, I don't know what he was writing. The Bible doesn't say. And I don't want to be exerting so much effort to find out what he was writing down, because he did not want us to find out. And as they continued to ask him, he stood up and said to them, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." And once more, he bent down and wrote on the ground. I think ang ginagawa rito ni Cristo is we should not pay attention to what he was writing, what he was actually doing. I think what he's doing is like he's not paying attention to these accusations. Para nagsuot lang, okay. He's not taking them seriously. I think that's the case there. But when they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. It was so powerful. They were convicted. Wala talaga. I cannot cast the first stone. I'm a sinner as well. Jesus stood up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." That is beautiful. And you know what? I believe that there's genuine repentance here. This woman was saved. This woman was saved. This woman was forgiven. Jesus is the righteous judge. He will judge everyone, judge all. And nothing can be hidden from him. Sabi niya, "I do not condemn you" as well. And that's beautiful. And we may ask, bakit? Why would he not condemn this woman? Because this woman truly believed. And therefore, Jesus would pay the guilt and penalty of her sins, wash them away, and give her his righteousness. "I also do not condemn you." Ano sabi sa 8 ng Romans? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ." And I hope you are in Christ. And if you're not, friends, you would be condemned. The only remedy for sin, not just the sin of adultery, the only remedy for sin in general, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the only remedy is to run to Jesus Christ in repentant faith and surrender to Him. That is the beauty of the law, friends. It condemns us. Brings us to our knees. It would take us to the very heart of the gospel. We need someone. We need a savior. Friends, as I've said a while ago, I'm pretty sure none of us can say we are not guilty of this commandment. I'm pretty sure if we were there, we would not be casting stones upon this woman. But praise the Lord, we were forgiven. And to those who have been struggling with this sin, I pray that you've seen the urgency of this sin. I pray that but by God's grace, you would deal with this sin harshly. Pluck your eye and cut off your hands. And so that we, by His grace, would no longer sin. Kagaya sinabi ni Cristo, "Go and sin no more. It's only by God's grace that we would not be condemned. I also do not condemn you. And it's also by God's grace that we would go and sin no more. Right? Again, the letter of the commandment, the heart of the commandment, far-reaching implications are great. It's deep, it's broad, it's condemning. It's the urgency, you see in the penalty of sin. Led us to the gospel. Led us to Christ. Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. The seventh word, right? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for confronting our hearts. We thank you that we, just like this woman, can be forgiven. That there's no sin that you cannot ever forgive. We thank you, Lord, that you value the basic relationship in mankind, and that is the marriage vow. We pray that we would value it as well. To those of us who are married, thank you for the grace you have bestowed upon us, wherein you gave us our wife or our husbands. To those who are single, we pray that you would protect them. Those who are planning to get married, we pray that you'd protect them. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would be gracious upon us. I pray, Lord, that indeed the gospel would so rule our lives that we would live grateful lives. Because true worship comes from a grateful heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from ourselves, from our self-love, from our unfaithfulness. And thank you, Lord, for how by your grace you are transforming and conforming us to the image of your Son. And to those who are listening for the first time and have heard this word, I pray that they would understand that it's not just this particular sin. It's not just this particular commandment that we fall short of. This alone could condemn us to hell. Imagine the many other sins that we have committed. I pray that you would give them faith. I pray that you would convict them of their sins. I pray that they would be brought to their knees. I pray that they would look into Jesus Christ, the only Savior, the one who will and can save and forgive those who come to Him in repentant faith. Please, Lord, kindly save people, even as I pray. Please, Lord, kindly heal broken marriages. Please, Lord, strengthen marriages. Please, Lord, protect our youth. Please, Lord, allow us to see the beauty of the imagery of marriage, the love for His bride, the church, coming from our bridegroom, Christ. Thank you for teaching us. We pray that you'd bless the remaining hours of the night. May we be able to glorify you with everything that we say, think, or do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hi, thank you for joining me, and I'll see you all next week for our 8th commandment. Ingat po kayo, God bless.